Hi there, I'm Juliet Nichols, founder and director of Pineapple Audio Production, and you're listening to the Podcasting Playbook. We're really lucky to be supported by some incredible businesses at Pineapple, so I just want to take a minute here to thank Ice Cool Design, a super stylish, eco-friendly wine cooler. We've got some beautiful Pineapple branded ones, and you can find pics of them on our Insta. And Audioboom, one of the leading podcast publishers who help you get your podcast to Apple, Spotify, and the rest. We use them for tons of our content distribution, so we are big, big fans. On today's episode, we are very excited to have Clay, the assistant editor at metro.co.uk, with us. She's previously worked at Fabulous Magazine and was a freelance journalist. Clay and I have worked together for a little while now on a variety of audio projects at Metro, from Smut Drop to Mentally Yours, to most recently a very exciting new series all about breast cancer. Hi, Clay. So would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we will get on to today's topics.
Cool. I am the assistant editor, brackets, features director at metro.co.uk, and have been so, well, I've worked in sort of a few different guises there already, but have been working at Metro for about 3 years now.
We've worked together for probably all of that time, actually, Clay, but I know nothing about what you did before that. So what kind of happened in your career journey? How did you get started and how did you end up where you are now?
Oh my goodness. So I've been in journalism for, oh my God, over 30 years, which I know is very hard to believe. But I've worked in all sorts of places.
It's very impressive.
I know. I started my career in, well, my dad was a journalist. So I started, so I learned the ropes from him and I sort of did a bit of, you know, helping out in the office for him. Then into women's magazines, like Good Housekeeping, Prima. And I'm talking back in the 90s. And it was, you know, they were back then, I don't know what their stats are now because I don't keep up with it. Back then, they were like huge. They were both number one of their field. So it's a great learning curve and very, you know, female dominated workplaces. So that was awesome because I was like learning from lots of very strong women, you know, journalism and, you know, how to be team players, all that sort of stuff. So it was really good place to start in journalism, I would say. And then sort of from there, I went on to work, which is where I did most of my like sort of 15 odd years, was at News UK, where I started out back in the day on, it used to be known as Sunday Magazine for News of the World, and then got turned into Fabulous Magazine, which now comes out with Sun and Sunday. All that time basically has all been working in features because I love features. I love people. I love sharing stories. So that's sort of, that's everything I've done. And I did that for sort of, I stayed at sort of with, well, I was at the launch of Fabulous, which would be about 12, 13 years ago now. Could I get that wrong? But yeah, and then sort of about in 2019, I took a tiny career break of like 6 months or something because I was just a bit sort of, you know, tired and I had two children, which I never saw. And so I was just like, I just need to take 6 months off, hang out with them for a bit and then sort of missing it quite a lot. My plan was to go freelance, but so did a bit of freelancing, but I realized that I sort of wanted to have to run a team, be part of a sort of like something, you know, permanently. So when the Metro job popped up, went for it, got it.
Good for you. And Fabulous Magazine, by the way, I've always
loved. It's a great magazine, great team.
It's a very cool magazine. Yeah, I love it. So when you're talking about features, what does that actually mean for your day to day being assistant editor?
Well, yeah, I was going to say features when you're a writer is so different from when you're assistant editor. And it's sort of like, it's almost like I get sort of FOMO and jealousy now because when you're, sorry, I've just touched my mic. When you're a writer, you get to chase the stories, speak to the people, do the interviews and have that one-on-one with case studies, which is amazing. And as the editor, the assistant editor and sort of features director, is like I can come up with a bazillion ideas and I sort of say, can we do this? And I edit the copy. So sort of help turn it, you know, speaking to writers, working with writers to turn it into amazing copy. We've got, on Metro, we've got amazing writers anyway, but it is that sort of just having, really just putting my two pence in worth because I just miss having that creative sort of aspect. And it is, what I do is still very creative, but it is in a different, you know, as it's that whole thing of sort of like the higher up you get sort of in the field you love is sort of the less you actually, especially in journalism, the less you actually do. But yeah, so for me, that's sort of like, it's on day to day, sort of just looking after the features, making sure we've got some really great features. At the weekends, we do In Focus, which is sort of the story behind the story. It'll be sort of quite newsy, maybe quite topical, but we do that every Saturday and Sunday. And we also have Snapshot, which is a picture-led piece. So it's something with it's a story that can be told through pictures. So it's very minimal words, which is, you know, for a features writer, but it's finding that story, being able to tell that story in a very succinct way and sort of conveying it. So those are sort of the regular features I do every week. And then it just depends what's happening in the week. It's like sometimes you can have a glut of a feature every single day because something topical's come up, or you can just sort of have one a week. But on top of that, there's like lots of other things like podcasts, campaigns, and just anything to sort of, you know, keep Metro, the name, the brand out there, sharing. Oh, and doing stuff with the newspaper as well. So I forget that we work across the newspaper as well. So it's sort of overseeing their features. So a bit busy.
Yeah, that's a huge variety of things to do. It really intrigues me that you took a career break and then, you know, it's very inspiring that you managed to come back in and you kind of like continued on with your career despite taking that 6 month break. And I know some people would be quite nervous to take that break. Did you see that as a big challenge, or have there been other challenges you've come across?
Interestingly, that came about, which is sort of talking about the challenges, that came about because my dad died, and I was so busy, and I was so, you know, I was just, you know, I'd worked for a really long time, and I also had two kids, and so trying to balance all that and everything else. And then this terrible thing happened. And it was like, you know what? I am so tired. I just need to have a break. And luckily for me, sort of they were offering voluntary redundancy at Fabulous. And they had turned me down a few times. And thank God, well, not thank God, because I was so sad to leave. I was really, really sad to leave, but I needed to do it. And so I just said, can I do this? And they said, yes. And, you know, it meant, because I've been there, it meant that I got sort of, you know, a decent package, and meant that I could take that time out without worrying, you know, financially for a little bit. So, and it, in my head, it was just, I'm a bit of a sort of like, everything will be okay type of person. But there will always be work for journalists, because stories, even with AI, stories still need to be told, and they need to be told properly. And you need to find the people to tell the stories and things like that. So there will always be work for journalists. And I think I've always believed that. So even when I sort of took the time off, I knew I'd be fine. I had built up so many contacts, and I knew that even if I couldn't, I mean, my plan was never to get another sort of desk job again. It was to work at home and be a freelance journalist. But I miss the sort of, I don't know. I mean, maybe the freelance journalists do it much better than I did, but I just miss that sort of being part of a sort of a permanent team and sort of having that sort of stability. It never worried me. I don't think it did. I think there was sort of perhaps if I had not found a job, then maybe. But I don't know anybody. I honestly don't know any of my colleagues that were former colleagues and friends gone into freelance journalism that have ever regretted it. So I'm just sort of like, I've got a good stable of people that have, you know, of support, but also that I know that it will be okay.
But I think that's quite inspiring. I think, you know, a lot of people would consider that quite a jump, quite a big move, and like, you know, not know where that's going to head. And I think some people do stay in their role for longer than they maybe want to because of that. So it's cool that you can be that inspiration.
Thank you. I just think it's that the whole thing is that, I mean, I probably stayed, I think because I love my job so much and I love the people so much, and I probably stayed in it sort of, for me, probably too long, but I didn't want to go. And also probably was just like, oh, too scared. But at the same time, it's just like life is, and it's so cliche, but life is just like such an adventure. And so it's always just, I always sort of, if there's something that you think you should do, just do it. Because it's just like, you know, you don't know where it's going to go and all the rest of it. And it's really, you know, it's very easy for me to say that in a job where there is possibilities. But it was just like, you have to do it, or else, you know, you regret it.
Yeah, you sometimes have those like life is too short moments, and maybe the sadder moments in life as well send you there.
It was that sort of like, you know, if I don't do it now, if I don't have the opportunity to do it now, then I probably won't get the opportunity for a very long time. So, and it was just like, and it is, as you say, it was a very sad thing that sort of spurred it all and made it happen. But it was sort of like in the long run, it worked out well for me.
Yeah, it's a catalyst for change sometimes, isn't it? So if those things were maybe less challenging and positive, are there challenges that you have come across that you would be willing to share?
I mean, every day is a challenge. I mean, I've always had like really strong female role models within the industry. I've always had worked with lots of women. And so it is, in that sense, that's been really brilliant and totally beneficial for me, because it's like, I don't see that I can't do anything because I'm a woman. And I think in journalism, it doesn't matter anyway. But there's the behind the scene things, like being a working parent. I had my kids in the sort of the 2006, 2010, which it wasn't actually that long ago, but it was still, it was much more difficult. And I think it probably still is very difficult for people starting out with families now, but it was very difficult in terms of there wasn't a lot of understanding with flexibility, and you basically didn't pretend. And it's not because of the, I want to make it really clear, it's not because of the people I work with, because they were all brilliant, but it was just sort of this unsaid thing that you just, you know, children did not get in your way of your career. And it was like, and to be fair, it's because I was starting out in a time where it was, you know, the generation before me probably was the same as well. It's like they're starting to be full time, you know, where you didn't have a choice, that you, I mean, you have a mortgage to pay. So you have to, I mean, you're lucky if you've got a job you love to pay that mortgage, but you don't have a choice. You have to work. So it's that sort of, there's no choice in that sense. So you have to do it, but you have to also do it and not let your children get in the way, which, you know, it is good in a way, because it's, you know, you need to be focused in what you do. But things like, I was telling somebody about this the other day, doctor's appointments. Rather than say that you had a doctor appointment for your child, I would say it was for me, because I didn't want anybody to think that my child was stopping me from doing my job. And it, maybe it was a thing that I put on myself, or maybe, but I think it was just the general how society was, you know, or the working environment was, not just in journalism, but in so many jobs, and probably still is for a lot of jobs, which is really sad. The awful one that I still remember, because I remember being an anonymous case study for somebody in an article, this was many years ago, they're talking about sort of the juggle, which is just ridiculous because it's more than a juggle, it's a bloody nightmare, of your nursery shuts at 6 o'clock, but you finish at 5 o'clock, and then you have to literally sprint out the door. And that's if you're lucky enough to only work an hour away. Now I work even more away, but away from where you need to get to. If a tube, you know, if a tube is not going properly, or your train's cancelled, and it is literally the heart of just, you know, you literally think you're going to have an ulcer because it's awful. And you know, and the nursery at the end, they're lovely and all the rest of it, but they're a business and they have their homes to go to. And if I'm late, they're late. So sometimes you'd come home and they would be, they were always really good. And obviously they never just left them in the nursery by themselves with the lights off. But sometimes they would be sat outside, all of the team, not just my children, but with their backpacks on and stuff like that. And you just think, that's really shit. Can I swear? It's like, you just think, that's really rubbish. And it's, you worry about the impact that has on your kids as well. Now, I don't care, in the sense that actually it's really good for them to see, this is what modern life is like. This is what, you know, some mums are lucky to, you know, if they want to stay home and have that opportunity to be at home with their children. For a long time, I think it was really difficult, especially just in that, I think in that era when everybody was sort of still finding their feet with working women and how it works, how it impacts the workplace. And, you know, now we have more paternal rights, which makes it easier. And again, I say we have more paternal rights. We have a smidgen of more paternal rights, which makes it easier. It's not fair on dads either. I'm not sort of saying it's them being useless, but it's that sort of thing. It's just, you know, it has got better, but there's still loads more we can do.
Thank you so much, Clay, for being our guest on the Podcasting Playbook today. And thank you for tuning in and getting to know a little more about the work we do at Pineapple. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way soon. Bye for now.
Welcome to The Quality of Life, the new wellness podcast for Saudi, the GCC, and the world.
Take that risk, try something new, and don't be afraid to fail.
Hosted by me, Raham Harreg, the first Saudi woman to climb Everest and the Seven Summits. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in the GCC and across the world.
You are an absolute badass for being an astronaut and a mom of four.
You can listen in both Arabic and English every Friday morning after Jumat prayer.